You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
The votes are in, and President Trump is acquitted for a second time on a vote from the Senate. And we would like to think that this is over, but I truly believe that the Democrats are not going to sit down for this, and this is merely the beginning of a continuing pattern of harassment against our former president of the United States. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think that they're going to try something else, perhaps the 14th Amendment, because they are so afraid that he is going to come back and run in 2024. And, you know, I'm actually hoping that he does. But either way, what's happening here is they knew that they would not win this battle. So, but yet they continue to spend our money in fighting it, and they want to make a big show to the American people of what a bad guy Donald Trump is, when in fact that throughout that trial, they didn't look so good in the way that they manipulated information and, you know, kind of cheated on the way that they showed things in the videos. So,
well, that's a lie to the American people.
It is a lie to the American
people. Right.
We'll talk about that in a little bit, Ron, because we have a great audio from President Trump's lawyer,
Michael Vandeveer.
Yes. And Michael Vandeveen, you know, I was very impressed with him. I liked his presentation. I liked his attitude. He just was a very common sense guy. The other side, the House manager side, they were more like bulldogs against the president. But Michael Vandeveen kept his temper, and he just spoke common sense and truth. The other big key to this, if people would have noticed, is that the Supreme Court justice did not even show up.
Well, John Roberts.
For the trial, who should have been the person presiding over it, which tells you in the first place, either he thought it was useless or unconstitutional.
Well, I believe his comments, you know, to the House and to the Senate as a method of warning them was, this is not a sitting president. Impeachment is for the purpose of removing a sitting president. And he, as a subject matter expert, I mean, he's the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Who is more expert in constitutional law than him? And he said, look, I don't think this is constitutional. I'm not going to show up. I am not going to be a party to this. And if people remember, especially conservatives, John Roberts has not been a supporter of President Trump. Okay,
right.
From the get-go, he has not been a supporter of President Trump. But he is an advocate for forensic facts and evidence and the law. And so he said, look, you know, I'm not going to be a party to this. And so that's why you had Patrick Leahy, and I forget what his position is, but he could be the Senate majority leader, okay? They had him taking John Roberts' place. But, you know, this was not a valid trial. Now, they say it's not a courtroom, but it is a courtroom, and they presented it as a courtroom. And certainly the media, you know, fawned all over the Democrats presenting it as a court trial. It was a trial. It wasn't a legal court trial the way we see court trials, where the standard of proof is guilt beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah, and I'm really, really disappointed with the Republicans that voted to impeach the president. I think that we need to read those people's names and have people remember them when it comes to 2022 and 2024 and, you know, vote them out. And the same thing in the Congress. Any of the Republicans that voted to impeach President Trump, they're on kind of a list with Republicans right now. This is a kind of a dog-eat-dog Senate and Congress right now, because what's happening is the Democrats are seeking out the Republicans that are very pro-Trump, and they're trying to do damage to them in any way they can. They're targeting them.
They're canceling them.
If you take Marjorie Taylor Greene, she lost all of her committee posts in the Congress, and that's pretty unheard of. And at the same time, I think as a slap in the face to everyone, they raised up Ilhan Omar and gave her a plum assignment in
the Senate Foreign Relations Committee pertaining to Africa. And they did that because she's a Somali native. You know, with regards to, you know, Green losing her committee positions, you know, I have to tell you, I'm not a total fan of her. She goes off into the deep end. I mean, as a common sense conservative, you know, she's put out a few things that don't resonate with me whatsoever. And I think, and this is the problem with politics, and you know, the attorney, you know, Michael Vandermeer, you know, he says, you know, he's quoted in saying in his MSNBC interview, which, like you said, we're going to play later, because it's so darn interesting and it's so on point, is that politicians will tell you anything. You know, they'll tell you anything. And notice the fallout between Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham. So Mitch McConnell, who hopefully people have realized by now, is the Senate minority leader, as even though he didn't vote to impeach President Trump, he certainly took him on and said that Trump bears major responsibility of what happened at the Capitol on January 6th, and accused him of direct dereliction of duty. He says, you know, articles of impeachment would have been more properly written, they would have accused Trump of dereliction of duty. And then you get, you know, Lindsey Graham, who's a stalwart, you know, conservative, and of course he's the senator from South Carolina. He took McConnell on and he says, you know, you're going to regret making those statements later on as we head into the 2022 elections. We're going to see that plastered all over your comments, plastered all over pro-Democratic candidate campaign advertisements. And Lindsey Graham is 100% right. Mitch McConnell was an idiot for saying that.
Yes. You know, I want to go back to something you said at the beginning of what you just relayed. It is President Trump's fault, not that you said it, but that they said it, that it's President Trump's fault that this all happened. And I take argument with that. I will tell you whose fault this is. This is the senator's fault and the Congress people's fault. In every state who had election issues, they did not take care that their state would have free and fair voting. They did not take care that they checked and double-checked mail-in ballots. They bought in equipment that has been proven to have a huge, not only a failure rate, but a rating that it could be compromised and was compromised. So this is their fault. And this put President Trump and all of us in the country in a very precarious position. There are those of us, like myself, who believe the election was stolen. And there are those who believe it was a free and fair election. How, I don't know, but they do.
Well, you know, Linda, quite a few shows ago, you know, you mentioned the fact, and I love your analogy, you mentioned the fact that these are dysfunctional parents.
Yes.
Okay, so dysfunctional politicians are, as voters and Americans, are dysfunctional parents. And I agree with you 1,000% that if you want to lay blame to the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th, you've got to place it right at the feet of the Congress and the Senate. Those congresspeople and those senators that were irresponsible, a complicit, irresponsible, and overly biased media that created the situation and the circumstances that led up to so many people being angry to the point of violence. And make no mistake about this, in no way, shape, or form do I condone anything whatsoever that happened at the Capitol building. We are talking about our personal opinions of what led up, what circumstances were set, what was set on the table during the past 4 years when you know, even before Trump became the president, once they sort of realized that he was going to become the president of the United States, all the way through up to and including January 6th, what did the Democrats do? What did the progressive left do? What did the people that I refer to as the neo-national socialist movement, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the Squad, all of these people do to disenfranchise the American people and create a schism between us, where the country is almost equally divided, reminding us of what happened during the Civil War from 1861 to 1865. Come on, you'd have to be blind not to see this.
Well, and to have them speak out as they have so hatefully, to have Nancy Pelosi sit there and tear up the president's speech, to have the level of disrespect from the politicians towards the president of the United States and from the media towards the president. There was not a day, Ron, in that presidency of President Trump that he was not roundly criticized by the media and called a liar and called every name in the book. Words matter. People listen. People react. Then you have the people that are on the other side who believed in President Trump, who liked his policies, who saw how he was moving America forward, who saw how he was making big strides in the world and in the economy. And you disenfranchise them and not allow them to be satisfied that that election was free and fair. I do not believe that it was, and I'm still not satisfied because nobody has ever shown the proof. Now, Mike Lindell has come out with his
with his documentary,
Absolute Proof,
yeah. With his documentary.
And it's very compelling, but it gets no play in the media, none.
Well, he had to buy his own time on What American News, and that's the only place, maybe other than, you know, YouTube or some other Ramble or some other place
Rumble.
That Rumble, sorry, still trying to catch up with these things. But you get my point. And so he plays the documentary on What American News. I've watched the documentary now four different times because I'm a fact-based objective guy. And if the other side disagrees with what Mike Lindell and his forensic computer experts put forth, and like I agree with you, it seemed very compelling, then fine. Just don't cancel Mike Lindell and his experts. Let's see some objective evidence in rebuttal of that and let the American people decide. And so rather than canceling Mike Lindell and his documentary, they should have shown it on every single media outlet. And then they had time to put their own experts together and compare and contrast, just like you would have it in a court case, and let the American people decide on the forensic facts and evidence, instead of just canceling Lindell, which is absolutely what they've done.
Well, and again, as our dysfunctional parents, they have just hidden away that evidence from everybody and just decided that it doesn't exist. And what the only things that I've even seen about it is that it's a bunch of, you know, bunk. But there's no evidence that it's a bunch of bunk.
There's no there on the other side with the progressive left or the Democrats. If you're going to argue, then argue factually and objectively. And here's a clue that people need to pay attention to. What did they do with Mike Lindell? They tried to hurt him personally.
Yes.
They tried to hurt him professionally. They tried to destroy his business. Okay, so that's how you fight against, you know, your side, where you believe that the information that Mike Lindell and his forensic computer experts have presented, that's how you rebut that. You try to destroy the man. You try to destroy his income. You just try to destroy his business.
Yes, this is what they do.
That's exactly what they do. And so, and then when we, you know, you go back, you know, to Mitch McConnell, and, you know, him putting Trump down. For God's sakes, Mitch, take a look. I mean, if you're going to impeach somebody, take a look at Vice President Kamala Harris and what she has done while she was on the campaign trail, where she not only supported publicly and verbally these demonstrators, these violent demonstrators, but she gave money to organizations to release these people on bail, violent protesters, of which at least one now, it's come out, that got out of jail because he was bailed out of jail on her program.
Yes.
Cracked somebody's head open and seriously harmed them. This is the Vice President of the United States. You took time when Trump was acquitted to put the president down for dereliction of duty, and you mentioned nothing about Kamala Harris.
Well, and how about his equal in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, who went after Joe Kavanaugh, and what is it, Joe?
Brett Kavanaugh.
It's okay. Went after Brett Kavanaugh and his believers, and said that he has opened up, you know, that this whole can of basically whoop ass that people should do because of the Kavanaugh hearings. That is inciting people just as well. So the question is, why is it okay for the Democrats? And there were videos played during the impeachment by President Trump's attorneys over and over and over of Democrats inciting violence.
Right.
Why is it okay for them?
Yeah, and you know, people need to remember that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, when they were on the campaign trail, said nothing about all the riotous behavior and the calamity, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, all of what happened in Portland, all of what happened in Seattle, in Baltimore, in New York, what is still happening in New York City, even now that Biden and Harris have been elected as the president and vice president, they are completely mum about what is happening with the, if you want to call it insurrection, it absolutely is insurrection in New York City.
Well, and the events that are in New York City with Black Lives Matter, there's riots happening that were happening during that impeachment trial. Officers were hurt. People were arrested. People were hurt. Damage was done. Not a word from them about it. Yet, you go after President Trump. So is it that only the Capitol matters? Is it that other people's businesses and lives don't matter, Ron? That's the hypocrisy of this. What happened at the Capitol was not right. What happens in Seattle and New York and Portland every day is not right. But yet you only hear one thing and they only complain about one thing. And much of their speech, in my opinion, over the last 4 years has enabled and made worse this program with other people rioting. Yet there's no consequence to them for that.
Right. They've let them out of jail, zero bail, to return with more violent protests. And again, I've got to place the ownership of everything that happened during the last 4 years, increasing violence, cancel culture, leading up to this insurrection at the Capitol building on January 6th, squarely at the feet of the Democrats and the progressive left. How about, and I'm going to switch it up, our first cup of tea.
Okay.
My fellow Americans, our mission here at AmericaOutloud.com is clear. We're here to defend our founding values and principles at a moment when they are under unprecedented assault. And to cover the news objectively and offer intelligent commentary on the challenges we face as a nation. You can tune in and join our family of listeners 24/7 in this vital crusade. Our apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find us on iHeartRadio or our world-class media player. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for the tea. Something that is really bothering me that American people need to be looking at right now is with all of this Trump obsession on the side of the Democrats, which oddly enough has not abated since he's left office, they're not getting anything else accomplished. So for 4 years, they got nothing accomplished, and now they're continuing this. So what is happening is the Congress and Senate are basically doing nothing but going after President Trump still. As Joe Biden sits and signs executive orders without the participation of the Congress or Senate, he's just willy-nilly signing orders which are affecting American people. The debt in our country is $28 trillion approximately. What they're doing in our Senate and Congress is arguing if they're going to borrow another trillion or $2 trillion to give to people during the COVID time. And as we continue to do this, we are forgetting that this all has to be paid back at some time. And it's going to be high inflation. It's going to be loss of jobs. It's going to have ramifications to the American people as we sit back and watch the theatrics that we see on television. We're not thinking about the consequences. And the other countries that Joe Biden is trying to now bring up, such as Iran and China, instead of keeping them in their place, all of these people are looking at us. And I mean, I think that it's a cartoon to them what's going on in our country.
You know, this is such a sad state of affairs. And, you know, people like ourselves and other common sense conservatives are bringing up the fact of this $28 trillion worth of national debt. I don't think, Linda, you and I are going to see it in our lifetime, but our children and our children's children are definitely going to see this. And these people that voted for these huge increases to the national debt without trying to work on balancing the budget. And, you know, every once in a while, you know that there's going to be emergency expenditures. COVID is a excellent example, probably the best example, other than going to war.
Well, and we have huge storms and we have hurricanes and we have
national disasters,
sure, money fires.
Money needs to be spent and money needs to be put away for those emergency circumstances. But for some of the stuff that's going on right now with the Biden administration, where we do not need to be putting America last and creating more debt, not only a national debt, but a debt to the American people. I mean, a direct debt. In other words, taking money out of people's banks, bank accounts, American workers. When you destroy the lease, tear up the lease basically for the Keystone Pipeline, and then the other pipeline that goes from the Dakotas and then over to the processing plant in Illinois that he's going to dump as well, and making us reliant again on OPEC and Saudi Arabia, which are not friends of ours. I mean, seriously, they're really not friends. They're an ally of ours, but they're not a friend of the United States. And then going back to a reliance on oil from socialist Venezuela, when you are doing things like that and you are taking tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of jobs away from Americans and giving them to other countries when it is 100% unnecessary. And by the way, all of the studies, I don't care what side you're on, all of the studies have shown that when you stop using pipelines and you go to railways and you go to tanker trucks to move oil and energy resources like that, you significantly increase the risk, the environmental risk and the carbon footprint, instead of, you know, minimizing it through the use of a pipeline.
In the meantime, Ron, hundreds of billions of dollars and countless hours of once productive labor are diverted to unproductive things like censorship, career canceling, and indoctrination. We have got to get things back under control in this country, because there's a price to pay for all of this wasted time in the Congress and Senate and things that are not getting done. And it's not just cleaning up like the billions of dollars of damage that were done in all the riots over last summer and hundreds of schools and buildings that have been renamed. And, you know, I mean, just the things that they're doing are so useless. And we're not doing the important things that our Congress and Senate needs to do. Again, the media is so complicit in this. And one of the things that was very, very striking to me was this interview that was done by Lana Zak on CBS. She interviewed the lawyer for President Trump in the impeachment, Michael Van der Veen, who is so well-spoken. And I want us to play that for people so that they can hear that video and hear what he says, because I was just really impressed with him going back and taking her on and speaking the truth and not letting her gobbledygook get in the way. And you can hear her try to justify her questions, and she can't.
Well, you know, she tries a couple of things with him. The first thing is what you said. She keeps trying to, first of all, she asked a very slanted question. It was a politically loaded question. It was a slanted question intended to, you know, take him in a particular way that she wanted him to go, which is a biased way. You know, if you're a reporter, you're not supposed to have any implicit or any confirmation bias. Your job is to report the news. And if you are interviewing someone who is newsworthy, and certainly Michael Van der Veen is newsworthy as the person who led the defense team for President Trump in his acquittal, then you need to listen to what he has to say and not try to manipulate his words. That's number one. The next thing she did, when he was absolutely kicking her butt all over the place because he's an excellent trial attorney, is then in the second segment of the interview, she tried to come back as the victim, right? And I'm going, oh, come on. And the thing that's cool about Van der Veen, he's not political. This guy is a trial attorney. He's an extremely accomplished trial attorney. He doesn't have a political persuasion one way or the other.
But he has a persuasion for the truth.
Well, that's it. But I think people need to understand the difference between the two people that were on television. First of all, the female reporter, and she is absolutely biased. She is an advocate for bias, and he is not. He's an advocate for truth. He is advocating also for his client, but he's using objective facts to make his point. And to me, that's why people need to take time right now and listen to this outstanding interview and repartee.
Joining me now is former President Trump's attorney, Michael Van der Veen. Thank you, sir, for joining us. Let's get right into those words that we heard from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. He ended the trial with this passionate speech about President Trump's involvement in the insurrection. During it, he said that the former president is still liable for everything he did during his period in office. Are you expecting to face more charges against Mr. Trump in the near future? And do you anticipate being part of that defense?
No, that's just political rhetoric. And I was hopeful that something would come out of this, that the political rhetoric would stop out of Washington, D.C., but I guess apparently it hasn't.
Were you, though, surprised to hear those words coming from the leader of the Republican Party in the Senate?
I'm not surprised to hear a politician say anything at all. No.
Well, throughout the trial, you denied that Mr. Trump had a role in inciting the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. You argued, first of all, that there was no insurrection. But during your closing arguments, you seemingly admitted that there was, in fact, an insurrection, using that word, saying that that was not up for debate. What role did the former president play?
You didn't understand the case. I used the word
I'll give you the opportunity to clarify, sir.
Sure. I used the word insurrection in my closing argument when quoting the charging documents. What happened at the Capitol on January 6th is absolutely horrific. But what happened at the Capitol during this trial was not too far away from that. The prosecutors in this case doctored evidence. They did not investigate this case, and when they had to come to the court of the Senate to put their case on, because they hadn't done any investigation, they doctored evidence. It was absolutely shocking, I think, when we discovered it and we were able to expose it and put it out. I think it turned a lot of senators. The American people should not be putting up with this. They need to look at who these House managers were and look to see whether these are the folks they want representing them. It was absolutely, it was shocking to me. Wouldn't have believed it.
Let's follow up with a point that you're making right now about the House managers, as you say, doctoring evidence. And the argument,
They didn't deny it.
To be clear, I put it in front of them three times. For our viewers, what you're talking about now is a check mark that's a verification on Twitter that did not exist on that particular tweet, a 2020 that should have actually read 2021, and the selective editing, you say, of the tapes. Is that the doctored evidence of what you're speaking?
That's not enough for you? That's not enough for you?
I'm not a juror in this trial. What I'm trying to be clear for our viewers is what you're referring to, because not everybody has been following.
It's not okay to doctor a little bit of evidence.
Respectfully. I have not said it is okay.
Ma'am, your question is
I want to be clear for our viewers.
Listen, what has to happen is
about what exactly you're saying when you say doctored evidence.
The media has to start telling the right story in this country. The media is trying to divide this country. You are bloodthirsty for ratings. And as such, you're asking questions now that are already set up with a fact pattern. I can't believe you would ask me a question indicating that it's all right just to doctor a little bit of evidence. There's more stuff that we uncovered that they doctored, to be frank with you. And perhaps that will come out one day. But we won this case, and I'm not a sore loser, but what happened, or a sore winner, I should say, but what should happen is somebody should look at the conduct of these House managers. It's unconscionable, aside from all of the due process violations that my client had. And the media should be looking at that at a square, straight way. The straight way. When I watch the news, I watch one station and it's raining. I watch another station at the same time and it's sunny. Your coverage is so slanted, it's gotta stop. You guys have to stop and start reporting more like PBS does rather than a TV news show that doesn't have any journalistic integrity at all. What I'm telling you is that they doctored evidence. And I believe your question says, well, it's only a Twitter check and changing a year of a date here. They switched the date of a Twitter a year to try to connect it to this case. That's not a small thing, ma'am. The other thing they did is they put a check mark on something to make it look like it was a validated account when it wasn't. And when they were caught, they didn't say anything about it. They didn't even try to come up with an excuse about it. And that's not the way our prosecutors or our government officials should be conducting themselves. And the media shouldn't be letting them get away with it either. I'm tired of the biased media on both sides, left and right. What this country wants, what this country needs, is this country to come together, to take the left and the right and find a middle ground and start responsibly being our public officials, our elected officials. And one of the reasons why they do it is because of the media, because the media wants to tell their narrative rather than just telling it like it is. And frankly, I'm tired of it. I'm not a media, I'm not in front of your cameras all the time. But what right. I've been subjected
Sir,
to this
I understand.
Last week.
I understand, yeah. And I've given you the opportunity.
You don't want to hear the truth. Yeah.
Okay. I've given you the opportunity. I will remind you that what I said was that for our viewers who have not been following all of the hours of this trial, mm-hmm. to be clear about what you are speaking about. And I understand that
you seem very upset. I'm speaking about the House manager's failure to prove their case. That's what I'm telling you. They weren't able to prove their case.
The acquittal. You have won the acquittal of your client.
Yes,
and if you'd
I
like
did.
To continue to talk about this conversation, we can have that discussion.
I don't need
but,
to.
But for me to ask a question, a slanted question that was set up to say
it's okay for them to cheat. That was your question. Isn't it okay for
that.
Them to cheat?
I didn't
it's
say
just
that.
Just a little bit. You said, to be fair, it was
it's
only
fine.
A check
I
on the Twitter.
Not,
that's what you said. You got to live by your words. That's the problem. The media has to start living by the truth and not try to create a narrative.
Michael Vanderveen.
Well, after listening to Michael Vanderveen, I don't think that there's a lot for us to say about it, because he said everything that needed to be said, that the media is irresponsible and they are causing a division and a chasm in this country that need not be caused if they would just speak the truth, and that both sides need to come together and we need to be looking at the truth. Everything that we hear is political speech. Every single thing has a slant and a bias to it. And the American people, as he said, are tired of it.
Well, you know, the thing that I thought was interesting about his comments in the interview, and I hope people caught that, is he's not asking anybody to accept President Trump's side of this. He's asking people to pay attention to what the real forensic facts were of the case. And he's begging the media to stop the biased reporting and simply report. And he said he has problems with the media on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals. He said, I just want all of you, referring to the media, is just report on the truth and the objective facts and let the American public make up their own minds. Quit telling people what they need to believe.
And what Lana Thack was trying to do was to excuse or to make insignificant the fact that the House representatives altered the videos.
Absolutely. And the House managers lied. They deceived. They attempted to deceive the American public because they doctored all of the videos that they showed.
And he's saying that is wrong no matter how you look at it. He didn't say it, but I'll say it. You're not a little bit pregnant. Okay, you're either pregnant or you're not. You either doctored the videos or you didn't. And no matter how much you doctored them, to give somebody an impression that was wrong, that is wrong. And that is what he's saying. So if you see how she tried to manipulate and he put her in her place, and I love that because we need to be doing more of that. The political speech has got to end. We've got to tell the truth.
And I think we try to do that on Talking While Married. So let's get our last cup of hot tea because it's cold as heck outside. Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DrRonMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. and they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
You know, Linda, after listening to that absolutely fascinating and thought-provoking interview between that media reporter and President Trump's main defense attorney, Michael Vandervien, I just wanted to discuss briefly about, again, I come back to these comments that politicians make all the time. I'm working on behalf of the American people. I'm working on behalf of the American people. I'm just doing what my constituents want me to do. So I want to name all of the Republican senators that voted in favor of impeaching President Trump and what is going on with them as a result. First of all, Richard Byrd. And Richard Burr is the senator from North Carolina. Several GOP regions in North Carolina have already voted to censure him, and more are looking to censure him. Speaking of censuring, Senator Bill Cassidy from Louisiana doubled down on his impeachment vote for President Trump when he was just recently interviewed, and he is facing censure from the Republican Party in the state of Louisiana. Susan Collins from Massachusetts, her approval rating is way down. By the way, the approval rating for all of these Republicans that voted against President Trump and voted to impeach him, all of their approval ratings took a big dump. Mitt Romney, he's one of our famous rhino traders, and he's got some serious issues coming into the 2022 election. Two of them, both Ben Sasse from Nebraska and Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania, have gotten such low voter ratings and are facing censure that they both decided, they see the handwriting on the wall, and they have both decided not to run. This is their last term of office.
Well, Lara Trump is running in North Carolina. She'll be running against Richard Burr. So it'll be interesting. I think that that should give her a big boost. But, you know, when these people are saying that they are doing what we want them to do, they're representing the people, those people did not represent their constituents. They represented themselves. They did not represent the people that voted them into office.
And that's my point in talking about what is going on with these senators. When they say they're doing the work of the American public, they are not. And the American public, their constituents and their states, are letting them know very forcefully through censure and a lot of bad emails, a lot of bad postings, negative of their participation in this impeachment and their vote against President Trump. They're speaking their minds. And like I said, Ben Sasse and Pat Toomey see the writing on the wall, and they're leaving.
Well, hopefully we get somebody better. And you know, we also had censured the vice president's daughter, Cheney, because of her voting in the
In Wyoming. Yeah,
she's having Congress.
She's having some problems in Wyoming. Yeah. You know who else though? This is interesting, and it just tells you about career politicians and when people clearly need to go. Dianne Feinstein's ratings in her district, which is the San Francisco Bay Area, San Francisco County, and a couple of surrounding counties that she represents, her approval rating is way down. But it's because she's not radical enough.
Right.
All right. And then also because they see that she's a profiteer. Right. Because she had some very, very bad conflict of interest stock transactions, you know, selling, just before that, you know.
Well, so has Nancy Pelosi, and nobody seems to mention it.
But, and by the way, here's interesting about the career politician. She has already contacted the election board, advising them that she's going to run again. And by the way, when she comes up for office again, she'll be 91 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
91 years old, and she can't get the political entitlement heroin out of her veins.
No.
She's so addicted.
You know, she needs to retire and spend time with her family.
She's a multimillionaire.
Yeah. Yeah. Just spend time, you know, doing, I don't know, reading some books and doing some puzzles and enjoying your retirement, for heaven's sakes. Anyway, one thing that has impacted and is going to be a big impact on our economy upcoming here very soon is that President Joe Biden has allowed 25,000 illegal aliens that were sitting over the border in Mexico awaiting their time in the way that President Trump had set it up so that they stay on that side of the border. He's allowed them to cross into America. Where do you think these people are going to go? What do you think they're going to do? And by the way, as we speak right now, at this time that they're crossing over the border, it is one of the coldest times. And where will they go? And who will house them? And who will give them food and clothing?
Well, and who's going to vet them medically?
Oh, nobody vets them medically.
Well, I got to tell you something. I heard just the other day when it was released that Biden is going to allow the Mexican government to release 25,000 illegal aliens to cross the Mexican border into the United States, because it's a pressure relief valve. You know, you get that. And he said that, well, these people are going to have COVID vaccinations. Well, okay, so look at all the people in the United States that really need COVID vaccinations that are taxpaying American citizens, many with comorbidities, many elderly, many at risk. And so just like we've been talking about, Joe Biden put America last again. So these illegal aliens are going to be allowed to cross into United States territory and get COVID vaccines.
Well, we'll have to see. You know, just this morning, I was reading from people in our area where we live, elderly people that are on the, like the neighborhood, little,
you know, next door kind of things,
those types of things. And they're saying, you know, we're desperately trying to get vaccines, and, you know, they have 300, and the 300 of course are claimed in moments, and they can't get them. So you're going to take 25,000 and allow these people over the border. What do people think happens with these people when they come over the border with no vehicles, with no food, with no money,
with no language skills, and no job skills other than basic labor? They can't all be turned into maids and car washers and janitors and gardeners.
Well, and it's a catch 22, Ron, because if you hire them as maids and gardeners, then you're in trouble with the law, because it's illegal to hire an illegal
immigrant. Oh, no, you have to use E-Verify. But let's go back over what is happening and the repercussions of this. So if our friends and followers and listeners remember some of our conversations and they're watching the news, you will see that there's giant caravans with tens of thousands of people coming from Honduras. And they're coming up through the next state north of them, the next country, is Guatemala. And then to the southern border of Mexico is Guatemala. Guatemala touches on to the southern border of Mexico. And so you are destabilizing, and there's been some videos out there that we have watched, because they're not being played on the mainstream media, because they don't want to scare people as a result of what Biden has done. But what they've done is destabilize the security forces of the Honduran National Security Forces, the Guatemalan National Security Forces, and then Mexico Security and Immigration Forces at the Mexican southern border. And so now they come up through Mexico and destabilize the country, because some of those people will take jobs away from Mexicans. Some of the Hondurans will take jobs away from Guatemalans. But before, under Trump, we had an arrangement with the Mexican government, and we subsidized this. We had shelters for these immigrants. So while they, because we got rid of catch and release, which is now back, but we got rid of catch and release, and our arrangement with President Obrador was that they would hold people in shelters. Americans, taxpayers would subsidize that, and they would wait for their hearings, which sometimes takes at least 2 years, maybe longer. Now, once Biden said that he was reinstituting catch and release, they angered President Obrador, and he said, well, to hell with that, we're going to close down all of our shelters. And so now you had at least 25,000 illegal alien foreign nationals in Mexico from various countries, especially Honduras. And what are they going to do? And so they had, meaning Biden, had to accept all these people to come back across the border. So this is what this is all about. And with all of this distraction, and I can't help but think it's not intentional, of the impeachment, people are forgetting that there are tens of thousands of illegal aliens that are going to come back into the United States.
Well, we've had 70,000 in the last few weeks come over the border. The Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, has given us notice that the employment picture remains pretty bad in the U.S. right now, and it's worse than at the worst point of the Great Depression. Even though our economy created 49,000 jobs last month, it's got to recover 10 million jobs, Ron, that were lost during COVID. 10 million jobs. So now you're adding all these additional people without job skills, without income to the mix. And it's just a recipe for disaster. And I have to wonder, on a personal note, does this administration have any idea what it's doing other than trying to cancel President Trump? That is so utmost and foremost in their mind that they're forgetting about the effect on the American people and our economy by the things that they are doing with the pipelines, with the immigrants, with, you know, their plan to raise taxes. This is devastating to the American people. 10 million people out of work right now because of COVID, and we won't bring them back to work in states like New York and California, and we won't let our kids go back to school, putting the teachers back to work, but we'll keep paying them. This is disastrous.
Well, you know, and let me piggyback on what we talked about in the prior segment, and that's the unintended consequences and the repercussions of closing down the pipelines, Keystone, and the one that's already, you know, up and running, and that's the one that's up in the Dakotas that, you know, I mentioned that goes through Illinois. Okay, so what happens, Linda, when you have to take trucks and oil cars, right? You're going to go by freight and you're going to go by truck, by rail and by truck. People forget how agricultural products, especially grains, are delivered throughout the United States. They're placed on cars, right? Mm-hmm. They're placed on rail cars, and they're placed in, you know, in giant 18-wheeler tanker trucks. And they take these grains, the soy, the corn, you know, the things like that, the wheat. And that's how they transport them, and which turns into, you know, bread and, you know, all of the different things, you know, that we use. And don't forget about all of our vegetables that are transported. So when you still need to transport the oil, and by the way, that Dakota's pipeline carries 578,000 barrels of oil a day, 578,000 barrels of oil a day. So now you've got to take those 578,000 barrels of oil every single day, and now you got to put them on rail cars, or you have to transport them in trucks. Do you know what happens to the agricultural products? How are they going to be transported? See, and what it does, very simply, is it takes the price per bushel of whatever you're doing, grains or, you know, bushels of potatoes, okay? and celery or whatever. And it increases because it's supply and demand. And so basically it costs about $1.78 per bushel of corn to transport that via a rail car or a tanker truck. Now the price has already gone up to $3.78. So we've seen an increase overnight of $2 a bushel for an agricultural product. That means that at the supermarket, those prices are going to go up.
Well, sure. And oil is at the highest price right now than it's been in a year. So that continues to go up because of Joe Biden. So I don't think we're on a good path in this country. And I actually have seen that many Democrats are unhappy with what Joe Biden is doing. But as our Senate and Congress just continues to focus on stupid, superfluous things to try to get back Trump, you know, the people are basically drowning in America.
Well, Linda, let's talk about how people can get in touch with you and me on Talking While Married.
Well, if they'd like to reach out to us, our website, or actually not our website, our email is Dr. Dr. Ron and Linda. So DrRonAndLinda at talkingwhilemarried.com.
And you know, we're always looking for ideas and topics of discussion from our many friends and followers and listeners. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do this time, because we're so interested coming into the 2021 year of some new topics of what you'd like to see and ideas of what you'd like to hear Dr. Ron and Linda talk about. I'm going to give out a free copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. That is a free copy delivered to you, no shipping or handling. That's just me sending you the book. If you send us an email, Linda, the email address again,
Dr. Ron and Linda at talkingwhilemarried.com.
And I want you to put in a special code. And the special code to get your free copy of The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police is TWM, Talking While Married, 231. TWM 231. And Linda, let's talk about how people can engage with America Out Loud.
Well, you just go to AmericaOutloud.com and you can see all of the wonderful talk shows that they have and all of the wonderful articles that are written there. I just am so impressed with the people that are part of America Out Loud. They are intellectuals of the first variety. And, you know, just every single day you can go on there and read new and different things without having all of the media bias that you normally see in the mainstream media. They also have a bookstore on which you can get books and articles that are written by contributors to America Out Loud, including Dr. Ron's books are on the America Out Loud bookstore. And if you miss our shows, which are on 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every weeknight, then please join us on podcast. You can go pick up any of our shows and listen to your heart's content anytime you'd like.
Yeah, just go over to the site and look at talk show hosts or talkers and look up Dr. Ron and Linda. Just click right on that and it'll take you to our podcast open 24/7. And we'll see you on the radio.